Greetings from the United Kingdom. I hope you all are well. My name is Pamela R. Haynes and I warmly welcome you to this episode of the Author to Author podcast. I had a wonderful anniversary weekend with my beloved. Thank you for the messages and your well wishes. We appreciate you. Also, thank you for your lovely feedback on our last episode. Don't forget to enter our competitions to win a copy of the guest author's books. In today's episode, I interviewed self-published author Renee Gordon, author of Who, What, When, Where, How, Why, A Story About a Life. Let's jump into her episode now. See you on the other side. Hello there, Renee, and welcome to the Author to Author podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
That's fantastic. Yeah, not bad at all. Thank you. We're trying to enjoy as much sunshine as we can get here in the UK, unlike where you are from, which I'd like you to tell us now. In fact, originally, where are you from? What heritage do you claim and where do you live now?
Okay. So I was born in Frankfurt, Germany. My father is retired Army. He was retired Army. He's passed, but he's in the Army. So I was born in Germany. And we moved to the States when I was just before I was 2 years old. And we lived in Georgia for a very long time. I lived there until I was in my late 20s. And then as an adult, I relocated to Northern Virginia and then Georgia and then Florida and back to Georgia. And now I'm in Florida again. So I've lived in several parts of Florida, but now I am on the East Coast near Daytona Beach. And it's mostly sunny, but we, you know, Florida has those rains every day. So we get that good old rain almost every day.
Okay. So you're experiencing rain at the minute?
Right this minute, no, but it was raining a little bit earlier. So I was worried that it was going to storm and I was going to lose my internet connection. But luckily, the sun is back out. So all is good.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's very nice to have you. But in terms of heritage, are your family, have they always been in the States or do they hail from elsewhere?
No, my family's always been in the States. My dad was born in Mississippi and my mother was born in Georgia. And my father says that his father was Choctaw Indian. But I did do a DNA test and I am 75% from Africa and 23% from several European countries, including like Russia and Siberia. So it's really interesting to see that heritage. And then 2%, it used to say Eastern Asia, but they redid their chromosome check and now it says Yucatan Peninsula. So I guess there's still some Native American, Central American in me somewhere.
Yeah, it could be. What was your reason for doing a DNA test?
Well, because my mother's side of family is, we think, Apache Indian. They used to say Cherokee, but looking at like the facial features and, you know, I would study like the different, you know, the heritage from different Native tribes. And then hearing my father say that his father was 100% Choctaw, or maybe that's how I thought he said, I don't know, but thinking there was Indian on both sides of the family. And my siblings, we all have very different features. I have a sister who looks like she's from Panama. I have another sister who looks like she's from Brazil, but she's very brown skin, but she has the most beautiful hair. Her hair is like a Brazilian, like it's I don't have that. But, it's really curly, like naturally loose, soft curls. And she has a really thin nose, but she's a very chocolate color. So we just like have this rainbow going on with us. And, you know, we all look alike, but we have these different facial features, pretty much the same bone structure. So I thought, you know, I don't know what I am. I want to know what I am. I'd like to know where I'm from. I know where I was born. I know where I live. I know where they say I am. But I really wanted to know.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I think it's good. And I think it's important that we know about our heritage and that we know where we're coming from. Right. And in particular, that we know where our features are from as well. So yeah, I had a camera crew with me this afternoon, and they were asking about heritage and what does that mean to me? Mm. And, you know, it's about connecting the dots, isn't it, as well? Because I never met my grandmothers, for example.
example. Yet when I went to Barbados for the first time, depending on which family we saw, they both said, you look like your grandmother, you know? So it's really good to be able to connect all of that as well. So that's a beautiful story to tell. But tell me what it was like growing up in Georgia. What were your formative and teenage life like?
Well, I was really sheltered. My parents were, kind of not strict, but they kept us sheltered from a lot of things that were going on in the world. So I just wasn't aware of a lot of things. But as I got older, I started becoming more aware of who I am and why the color of my skin makes a difference. And, what some groups of people may think about me, whether I'm going to be accepted here or there. So I started learning more about what it means to be a Black woman, especially in the South. So that was sometimes a very eye-opening experience. But I really didn't experience, there was no tragedy. It was no tragedy. It was just, little things. I had a really good childhood initially. My parents divorced when I was rather young. They separated, then they divorced. So that was a little traumatic. Some things happened. I thought, so if, I don't know if you had a chance to read the book, but in my childhood, I thought everything was good. I thought we had the perfect family. I thought we had a happy family. But, stuff happens and you don't know about it. You don't understand until you get older and some things come back to your remembrance and you start realizing some things weren't so perfect after all. And it shapes you as a person. Even those things you don't even recall initially sit in your subconscious and it shapes you as a person. And you don't even know why you're doing the things you're doing or why you feel the way you feel or certain things, creep you out a little bit or make you nervous until you start realizing life and understanding how things do impact you and perception. Because it was, my mom had 7 kids. 6 of us grew up in the household together. My siblings are all older than me. So I'm the youngest. The shortest age difference is 5 years. The biggest age difference is 15. So it's a big gap. So I didn't grow up with all of my siblings, so to speak. I didn't grow up with my siblings because they're so much older. So some of them I didn't grow up with. And we all have a different perspective of our childhood and our parents. And it's just really interesting, growing up in a large family, number one. But we, and that siblings, we have our way. and being such a large family, some of us are closer to one another than others. Because of the age gap, especially. I also have a lot of cousins. I knew everybody on my mother's side, but I didn't know a lot of people on my father's side. So I spent a lot of time with my mother's family. So I knew my maternal grandmother and grandfather, all my aunts and uncles, cousins. I have a buku cousins. I have, like, one day I just sat down and started writing out names. Let me see how many family members' names I can write down. I got up to 82 before I had to start thinking.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Right. It's a jaw drop moment. And then I think I made it up to 102 because I had to start thinking a little bit, but I could probably go past that now. So yeah, it was interesting growing up in a big family and growing up in the South and, sometimes being at, well, I won't say predominantly white schools, but not a big racial balance, but enough. My college, I went to an HBCU initially, and then I transferred to a PWC. That was a culture shock. So
can I just stop you there, because you're using some acronyms that maybe my listeners are not familiar with.
Okay.
So which university did you go to?
I started at Clark Atlanta University, which is an HBCU, historically Black college and university, and that's in Atlanta, Georgia. And it started out Clark College, but Atlanta University and Clark merged and they became Clark Atlanta University. And then I transferred from there to what was Augusta College. As I was there, they changed to Augusta State University. And that was a PWC, which is predominantly white college. So that was a bit of a different environment. And I didn't live on campus there. I stayed at home.
Right. Okay. What did you study?
I studied accounting. I loved math. I loved numbers. When I was little, I used to always ask my dad, could I count his money? So I would take the money, coins and bills, I would take it and stack it up and count it. And then I'd mix it up and stack it back up and count it again. So I was a little mathematician, a little counter, even as a very young child, probably 5 years old, I wanted to count all the money.
Is that the profession that you moved into?
After graduation, yes, I started out in the financial accounting arena and I ended up in IT, so I'm in IT now.
All right. Okay. It's a big switch. What, why was that? Was it just wanting another career?
Well, I actually migrated into that because I would do, like, if a company needed a new software, a company I worked for needed a new software. And so we did what's called, if anyone's familiar with RFP, request for proposal. So we submitted bids, people came back, they wanted to install the software. I had to learn it. I had to learn it not just from the user perspective, but I had to understand the build of it. And even before that, I don't know how I found myself in these situations where if a company was either reorganizing or changing their systems, being on the financial accounting side, I had to work with the team to do all the mapping to translate the financial accounting information, all the structure into the new system. So that's how I kind of migrated into IT. And then I eventually just became an IT person. I love it. I will do that.
You
I
love
don't
it.
want to do finance accounting anymore.
All right. Well, you're actually bringing energy to the subject of IT. You sound really happy about that career move and what you're doing now.
I
I
love
looked
it.
you up. Fantastic. I looked you up earlier, and the book I have isn't your only book. How many books have you published altogether?
I have self-published four of my own, and I helped another couple publish their book. I actually wrote part of it and edited and published it. And then I'm a writing coach for someone else who wrote a children's book that's published. And I'm also a writing coach for another person who is in the process of publishing a children's book.
Oh wow. But how did you migrate, using your words, how did you migrate into being an author in the first place?
That's a really good question. So I've been writing since I was a child. I love a good story. I love reading a good story, and I started writing. So the only thing with me, when I was little, I used to read a lot. And as I got older, I saw that the storyline had to capture me more each time. So all books just weren't for me. I really needed to be captivated in the first few pages, or I wasn't going to make it through the book. Sometimes I had to push myself to try to make it through the book, but I began writing at a very early age, and I wrote short stories, poetry, a lot of poetry. In middle school, I think it was middle school or early in high school, I wrote a play, and I co-wrote a play with some high school classmates, and I wrote a lot of song lyrics. So I love writing. I love a good story, and even in, so, I also have music published, but even in my songwriting, I tell a story. I like to tell a good story.
Oh, absolutely. And music, even if it's instrumental music, has a beginning, has a build up, has a chorus, has a high note, a bridge, and everything else before coming down the other side of it. So
Right.
yes, I can see how it can feel like you're telling a story as well. But
Right.
tell us, what was your very first book called?
So my first book was called Life, Love, Loss, Words from the Heart. And I started writing that. It was poetry that I started writing in high school. So I had a creative writing class. I went to a fine arts high school. Fine Arts Magnet High School. So they started cultivating my writing and helping me write more creatively. So I took the creative writing class and we had to write something every day. So I started writing poetry and I kept writing poetry. When I went to college, I started falling in love with sonnets and I started learning more about the Black poets because I didn't know a lot about those when I was in high school. It wasn't on the curriculum, but that's okay. I started learning a little bit more. And I just fell in love with poetry. And so through high school to early, maybe mid to late 20s, maybe even early 30s, I compiled my poetry and decided to make that into a book. I have a couple of relatives who are also poets, and we were supposed to do a compilation together, but people are busy, they don't have time. I was very passionate about it, so I said, okay, I'm going to move forward. You guys don't mind, I'm going to keep going. So I went ahead and published the book of poetry, and so it does have poetry from high school, so some of it is a little, juvenile, but I was a child, and it takes you through my life of some fun stories, some things that I started thinking about more seriously, just about life in general. So I titled it Life, Love, Loss, Letters from the Heart.
Yes, I'm looking at the book cover now. It's quite cheeky with the face on the
It
front.
is. I drew that face. Actually, the cover is actually a new edition cover. So I initially used a different platform for publishing and had a completely different cover. And I wanted to redo that and make it a little bit more mature, but keep that innocence for the face that's on the cover. So I hired a graphic designer to redo the cover for me.
So that was your first book.
Yes.
What was the second one called?
The second one was called Animals in Our World A to Z, and it's a children's book. And I did that one in hardcover. And what inspired me to do that, so this is an interesting story. I was laid off from work in my lovely IT job, but and that IT is actually for financial systems, so it wasn't so far off from finance. But I was laid off from my job, and so I started doing projects around the house. And when I ran out of projects to do, since I like to write, I said, well, you know what? I'm gonna write. And I was inspired to write a children's book from a commercial that I saw that someone had, was talking about a children's book. So I said, well, let me write a children's book. But I want it to be educational. I want children to, because I travel and I was able to let my son travel with me sometimes. And so he was able to go to different countries and not necessarily far, but still he was able to get outside of the United States. And so I wanted kids to learn about the world. I wanted them to travel and see the world from a different perspective, but I wanted it to be fun. So I made it about animals because I love animals and it's poetry. So it's like my three favorite things all combined into one. So it's animals, poetry, and travel.
I'm looking at that book cover as well. And you've got a couple of more books. What are those titles?
I do have a couple more. One is called, I wrote it with my husband. It's called The Next 31 Days, Realign Your Thinking, Realign Your Life. And I was initially going to write that alone, but it talks about life as even a married couple. And I kind of go through different scenarios or situations that not just I've encountered, but my husband and I have encountered together. So I wanted his perspective on it. I thought, it would be great to get not just a man's perspective, but my spouse's perspective and in my life journey and our journey together. So he and I wrote it together. So it's really an interactive journal, inspirational journal. So it starts out with a thought and then a scripture and then the goal and then either a question or something that I'm asking the reader to think about and write their thoughts on. So over the 31 days, they can kind of see how they've transitioned just in that 1 month to either let things go that are burdening them, to be more kind and compassionate to others, just different things to be inspired. So we wrote that together and it was a lot of fun.
That's wonderful. But how did you move from just being an author to then also being a publisher? How did you find, because lots of people use a self-publishing service, but it's another step to become a publisher yourself. How did you find that?
Well, it's interesting. I did not expect to publish, but the story that I published, the couple is actually my aunt and uncle, and at the time they were 89 and 90 years old. And my mother told them that I had published books, and so I could probably help them publish their story. And so I talked to them. I was like, sure, send me your story. And my uncle sent me this story that he and my aunt hand wrote, because they're 89 and 90, so they're not using a computer, but they hand wrote. And it was not just because they're my aunt and uncle, but because the story was the sweetest, most touching story. At 90 years old, this man remembered the day he met his wife, what she was wearing from head to toe. And that just touched my soul. I thought, that's love. Like, that's marriage goals right there. I know the hearts in love. So I said, let me publish it for you. So I was working with one of their daughters on just, getting the story filled out and we were coming up with the cover title. I would always run everything by them because they're my aunt and uncle. I knew some more of the story than what they were writing in the book. So I asked if they didn't mind if I kind of fill in some blanks. And they said, yes, go for it. And so I wrote the poetry in between each chapter and helped them develop the story, edit it, and then published it for them.
Oh, it's an amazing thing to do. It's such a lovely thing to do in terms of honoring their stories as well. So that's fantastic.
And it's called Our Love Story, How We Met, How We Live.
Lovely. What were the obstacles or the challenges of being a publisher?
Oh, so it wasn't a challenge for that book because they gave me, free rein to do whatever. I did have a challenge of trying to figure out what type of illustrations to put in. So I didn't want, like my children's book has very detailed illustrations of the animals and their surroundings, but this, I wanted it to be more about the story and less about the pictures because I really wanted people to get captured in the story. So I went with a very simplistic, continuous draw art style. And I just purchased the pictures. I didn't even have to go through, like with the other books, I had to go through working with illustrators and trying to pick the right illustrator and working at their time zone if it was a different time zone, and just it was a lot. So with this, I purchased royalty-free illustrations. I thought the continuous draw was very simplistic, and the images that I chose were captivating and captured what was going on in that next chapter. So I really liked the pictures that I was able to find on Shutterstock. So that was probably the biggest challenge for that book. I actually was working with another client initially publishing their book, but I turned over publishing to them and just assumed the writing coach role. So that made things a lot easier.
Yeah, so you're an author, you're a publisher. Tell us about the coaching side of your business.
So that's a lot different because you are working with a writer who they have their idea of how they want things to go, and that actually takes a lot of the load off of me. So all I have to do is help them find an illustrator if they haven't already found an illustrator. I help them develop the story and the characters. I give recommendations on page formatting and, if they should have either cameo shots or what they call insets or full page or page spreads, depending on what's going on in the story. I help them maybe if there's a scene in the story, like one of the books the writing coach for, there's a chase scene, there's some animals, and there's a chase scene. So I tell her she really has to bring that chase scene to life, and the images have to bring it to life. And so that maybe should be a two-page spread rather than just something on one page. So it's more guiding the writer and even the illustrator. So if the illustrator sends back the pictures or when the illustrator sends back the pictures, they actually run it by me and get my input. And we both kind of give our input and see where we think the illustration is okay and what maybe needs to be developed or pulled back. So that's a very different animal than writing and publishing for yourself. Very different.
It sounds as though it's very rewarding.
It is because you get to help someone else bring their, not just their book to life, but their dream. So a lot of people say, oh, I want to write a book. And I say, okay, why don't you? And they get stuck because they're like, now it's real. Like, I can actually do this. Absolutely, you can do this. Why just start writing? And I can help you. I can help you find an illustrator. And I recommend that you can either self-publish or you can look for a publisher. You can look for a publishing house that does all of that for you. They find the illustrator, they do the formatting so you can take the load off of you, depending on the budget. And so it's very rewarding to help people bring their dream to reality.
Wow. Oh, wow. Is this your latest book? Who, what, when, where, how, and why? A story about a life.
I think that is the latest one. I think that one was copyrighted in, I think that was after the next 31 days. Actually, no, that's not the latest book. The next 31 days, Realign Your Thinking, Realign Your Life is the latest book. I wrote Who, What, When, Where, How, Why after I wrote the children's book when I was laid off, but I didn't release it right away. It took me several years to release it because I was struggling with number one, how am I going to present this? Is it going to be my story? Is it going to be a fictitious story? How much am I going to reveal about my life? And how much am I going to bring in about stories other people have told me? Like, just what direction am I going with it? So I held on to it for quite a while, for several years. And then I finally was able to just say, you know what? This is a story other people need to read. so they can see they're not alone. They can see that bad things happen to good people, and they can have a breakthrough from it. You don't have to stay in that rut, in that ditch. You can find a way out of it. And I wanted to share that. And so I finally released it. And initially, I wouldn't even claim it as my story. And I finally said, you know what? I just need to tell the truth. This is my story.
And that's what I was going to ask you, because obviously you've used the name Megan Reiling in the book, and I was going to ask you if it was, whether it was about you and about your story. Tell us what this book is all about.
So Megan Reilly is a young child with a big family, and she is, just in her own world. She thinks life is good, everything is good, she's okay. But she starts experiencing some traumatic experiences, and it turns her world upside down. And she does not know how to deal with it. She's not talking to anyone. She's keeping everything a secret, keeping it all in because of the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment and the pain, especially the pain. And so she's keeping it all in and not telling anyone. And that is taking her down a spiral into an abyss where she's just making all kinds of mistakes, doing all the wrong things. And she knows it's not right. And she knows she needs to do better. So she, just preys on it and finally accepts that she's got to do something different. And so she finally comes out of it and her life starts turning around. She releases that shame and that guilt and she realizes it's not her fault. Because a lot of times when you experience any traumatic event in your life, you blame yourself. And oh, I shouldn't have been there. I shouldn't have done that. Nothing you do gives a person a right to harm you. Nothing you say. If you're not putting your hands on someone else, they shouldn't put their hands on you. Like you should, people should just not think just because you're there, you deserve to be hurt. So I thought I would go ahead and share that story because I know I've talked to other women and men. I've talked to other people who have been hurt, who have been physically, emotionally harmed, and they don't talk to anyone. They hold on to that pain. And it can like eat away at you. It can kind of steal your joy.
There is something quite unique about the way this particular book is written. So it's not your traditional fiction pretending to be, masking as non-fiction or vice versa. And it's not poetry in its truest sense of the word, where you're used to poetry. This book is actually made for performing. It feels more like spoken word than anything else. So tell me why that particular style of writing.
So, since it's a story about a life, about experiences, I wanted it to be told more in first person. Poetry is just, I love poetry. And I thought I should do this in spoken word format because I really wanted to, number one, capture the audience, number two, still keep some poetry in there, and number three, tell the story that would, like you said, it hopefully translate to a play or screen. I've contacted a screenwriter. So our love story, How We Met, How We Live, I've turned into a play. The screenwriter is turning that into a movie, and then we're going to do this one into a movie. So I really would like to see this played out because I feel like the emotion that you can invoke from spoken word can really capture the reader and tell the story still true to form, but still with poetry.
Each chapter, that's a chapter one, you talk about who, another chapter, you talk about what, and then when, and then where, how, and why. Where did you get that model from?
Sometimes things just come to me. So as I'm writing the story, and I don't usually have an outline. As I'm writing the story, I realize that's what I was explaining. I was explaining who I am and who the family was and who the players are, and then what was the event or events that transpired that changed my life. And so as I'm writing, I'm working through all this, and then so I think at some point I paused and I went ahead and wrote out the chapter names, and then I finished writing. So I didn't start out with an outline template, but I eventually went into the outline template because that's where the story was going.
Well, the reason why I ask is because, as a qualified social worker and working in probation, this is actually one of the main models that we use in terms of working with offenders. So I thought that there was going to be some kind of explanation in terms of your education or your occupation. We always ask people, start pe by asking people who they are, what their names mean. Whereabouts in the world do they come from, in terms of getting the map out? Because you can imagine the UK is quite cosmopolitan, full of different people and different races. What was the event that occurred? So it's interesting that that came to you, but it's something that we've had to teach our students, our training probation officers, about trying to find out about the people that they are working with. Most importantly, why the event occurred. Because unless you have an understanding of why things happen, then you don't have any control about repeating those mistakes in the future. So that's why I was asking about the title of your book, that it is actually one of the main models of social work that we use here in the UK when trying to gather information about people. So that's fantastic.
That's really interesting. That's good to know. And I'm really hoping this book can be used for people who have found themselves to be, and I don't like the word victim, who have been victorious over having a breakthrough coming out of a bad situation.
I like that. I might start adopting that as well, because they are more than just survivors, aren't more than just victims. But I quite like the idea that somebody is victorious over their circumstances that they find themselves in as well. And if you want to look it up, the model is called 5 W's and 1 H. So you can have a look at that
I will
in
look at
more
that.
detail as well. Just before we go, I really would like you to read a little bit of your spoken words from that book.
Okay, thank you. I would love to. I'm going to start with chapter one because I don't want to get into too deep of the stuff. Okay, chapter one, who? Who am I? Born in one country, raised in another, first and middle name called by each, but not by the same. Megan Riley. Make Riley at home and Megan at school. Mama wasn't supposed to raise no fools, so I was going to be smart and study hard. I was good. I stood tall even though I was a little shorty. I didn't get into trouble too much. Listen to my mama most of the time. I guess nobody's perfect. This is all just scratching the surface. I'll get deeper later, I promise. I'm just putting a little perspective on it. I was a tiny little thing, loved to dance and sing. I was too shy though, but not at first. Mama said I would stand on the coffee table and shout, "I," then start rocking my hips from side to side. I guess I was born to perform. It's the norm for any kid to dream. I guess even back then I dreamed I would one day sing. Yes, I sing, not too bad either. Carry a pretty good tune if I do say so myself. Not bragging, just being real. You got to give yourself props and acknowledge your gifts. That's why they were given to you, to share and bless other people with what you can do.
Fantastic, fantastic. Yep, and I can see why people are gripped from the first page when they start reading your book. And I just love the way that it's laid out as well, with the short sentences. And yeah, I just love all of that, really, because it's
Thank
very easy on the eye, and you're able to follow the story without getting lost. If people wanted to get hold of you, Renee, how would they find you on social media?
So I am on social media, Renee Writes Books, RENEWRITESBOOKS, and that's on Instagram and Facebook. And my personal page, I don't have a personal page on Instagram, but I do have a YouTube page, and that is Renee Gordon. I think it's Renee Writes Books dash Renee Gordon.
Okay, and you have a website address as well, if people are interested in maybe taking you up on some of your coaching, your book coaching. What's your website address?
My website is www.reneewritesbooks.com. Again, it's RENE, just the one E on the end, WRITESBOOKS. And I also have the reneegordon.com website, so people can see me from a personal perspective as well.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Renee, thank you so much for joining me on the Author to Author podcast this evening. It's been fascinating talking to you. Do you have any other book projects coming up?
Actually, so the play that I was referring to for the Our Love Story, How We Met, How We Live, I am trying to work with a local HBCU to work with their performing arts theater to produce the play for a school project and perform it in their performing arts theater. And one of the songs that my husband and I have written together, well, he's done the music, I wrote the lyrics, that's how we usually do. We're also working with them to perform that and do the video for the song using that university's performing arts group. So
Fantastic.
their orchestra, their drama department, just a complete collaboration.
That's fantastic. And when I looked you up on Amazon, I see that some of your music is there for people to purchase and download also. So that's just,
Yes.
fantastic to me, really. You've had such a wonderful career in terms of what you've done and what you're doing now. So that's great.
Thank
But as I
you.
said, promise me that you'll come back when you have another book that you're about to release. It'd be wonderful to have you back on the podcast and to catch up with you. What happened with the films? What happened with the screenplays? So I still feel as though we're scratching the surface here, but there's a lot more for you to tell us. So please promise me that you'll come back when you're ready with your new work and your new projects.
I would love to. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed listening to my guest, Renee Gordon. It is competition time now. I hope you are listening very carefully. What is the name of her protagonist in her book, Who, What, When, Where, How, Why? A Story About a Life. DM me on Instagram at lovingtheauthor with the correct answer by this Friday for your chance to win a copy of her book. Have a wonderful week ahead. Until next time, bye for now.